Episode 473 of Global from Asia. In this episode, Colin shares his journey from a $100 investment to million-dollar success, data-driven strategies for Amazon launches, buyer segmentation, and tips for thriving in 2025's e-commerce landscape. Plus, get insights into Colin's workshop at the summit, perfect for advanced entrepreneurs navigating the ever-changing e-commerce marketplace.
Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business is broken down into straight-up actionable advice.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Global from Asia. I'm Lisa Yuson, your co-host, and today we're diving into the world of Amazon product launches with some seriously actionable advice. Mike, you've got a great guest lined up, Colin Raja, right? He's all about turning data into dollars.
Absolutely, Lisa. Colin's story is inspiring, from starting small to helping brands launch hundreds of products. We're talking buyer personas, keyword strategies, and how to stay ahead in 2025 with trends like AI tools and tariff impacts. And don't forget, he's speaking at our cross-border summit. Super excited for that.
Sounds like a must-listen for our advanced e-com crowd. Remember, Global from Asia, where the daunting process of setting up and operating a global business is broken down into straight-up actionable advice.
Before we get to the main discussion, a quick shout-out to the Cross-Border Summit 2025, happening November 3rd to 5th in Thailand. This year's event is packed with experts like Colin Raja, covering cross-border e-commerce strategies, networking. If you're serious about global business, grab your tickets at crossbordersummit.com.
Okay, thank you everybody for tuning into a Global from Asia podcast. We're on the road to the Cross-Border Summit, and I'm super excited to have one of our featured speakers and experts in community, Colin, with us today. It's exciting to have you here. How you doing, buddy?
Good, man. Thanks for having me. I'm excited for Thailand, actually. I mean, like, it's been like 2-3 years.
Yeah, we were there.
It's a great community there. I never thought that when I was there, like for what? I was there for like 3 to 6 months actually. And okay. it was a great community, and I met like a huge amount of people actually.
Like, yeah, they're all hidden in the the mountains. Everybody has their own like house or
there's
downtown, but most people like me, I mean, we're up in our houses and the different surrounding areas.
It's a crazy spot. I think this time is like a good weather as well. June, July, they start burning right now. It's amazing weather as well.
Yeah,
anybody listen to this, they should come and join. It's just so much fun, actually, for sure.
It's gonna be good, and it's also the holiday Loi Krathong. I don't know if you're.
They have the candle.
That's kind of forbidden. They don't like that because of fire. But we do the river. We're going to do the Krathong into the river.
Oh, I've done that. I've done that.
Yeah, we got that set up.
I think I've done the restaurant. The boat goes around and then you can eat the. They have food actually serving.
There's all kinds of different ways.
Yeah, it's
amazing. Really. It's like one of the major holidays. So we'll be having that as well.
That's amazing.
I think it's the first time to actually have you on the podcast. We did some webinars together and in events and such.
Yeah.
But for those not familiar, you know, I always think of you as a product launch person in the space. And you've been doing this for many, many years and working with major brands with their product launches and growing their brands and their businesses. And you always have good case studies on your socials, on your YouTube and on your Facebook and other platforms. So for those that don't know, Colin, you want to give a little bit of background for everybody?
Sure, definitely. I started my Amazon case out of nowhere. I saw Rich Dad Poor. I read the Rich Dad Poor Dad book. And Robert Kiyosaki talking about it. It was an amazing book. And then I was like, oh my God, I need to rewrite my whole life. Actually, it's not that I'm not living the life that what I supposed to. So I was like, I started rewriting everything and introducing amazing seller. And then I was like, I was so cheap. And I was like, no, I'm not going to buy that. But they have like a free, like a 10 days webinar or something. And I picked that up, and then I was like, I'd spend like close to 19 hours a day.
Whoa.
And I did it for like close to 18 months, something close to, and I made my first million. It was crazy. And I didn't mean to, nobody in my family like is an entrepreneur, and everybody was like saying that, no, you have a good team, you have like a good life, you're buying the house, you're gonna get married soon. Why the heck you wanna try entrepreneurship right now? And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna see something if I can do it, actually. I mean, like, I'm not even sure if I can do it. Can I try? And I put like $100 and buy a foldable water bottle, and then I started selling it online. And I made it in eBay, and I don't even wanna sell it in Amazon because everybody was saying that the fee is crazy and they're gonna take like a crazy amount of money. And I'm like, okay, I mean, like, I have nothing to lose. So I made with $100, I made my first $1,000 because I bought a foldable water bottle with a clearance of like 20 cents or 30 cents. And I three of them packed together. I put my label. I sold for $19. And I'm like, when I made my first sale, it was crazy. So I was seeing very early Amazon in a different way, which is like everybody see as like a product launch, just launch a bunch of product, one of them pick up, and then you keep repeating the same thing. What I saw is like basically it's a more data aspect of it. So I was the early guy who discovered like, okay, there's a huge amount of keywords. It's not like you need to run one or two keywords. So I found there are multiple keywords sharing the same sales, actually. Like the multiple, this is not like sales come from one keyword. The sales that come from multiple keywords. So at that time, we were figured out there gotta be like something called a browse keywords. We say, okay, if somebody's like coming for, they have no idea what's a product, and then they just like are coming for a browsing, they don't know what they want, they're looking for it. And then they keep refining the search, and then and that becomes a purchase keyword. So when you take a look at the data, you can able to understand that, you know, there's a difference between purchase. So I was able to discover the data aspect of the Amazon, and we launched close to 2 years ago, 1 year ago. I'm sorry, 2-3 years ago, I met like a crazy accident in my life. I lost everything what I had, and completely lost. It went to like a negative, like in my life, because of divorce and everything. Yeah. And I was like super about to kill myself and everything. And one time I went and helped one of my friend. Like, okay, he was going through a depression, and I added like $10,000 in his everyday business. So, and I found there's a lot of people going through the same problem. They, due to the pandemic situation, people run out of stock. They were like, got suspension, or they stop, or they couldn't even able to running this top selling product, and they couldn't adapt to the new algorithm. They end up in like from 500 to 5 sales, and they have no idea what's happening with them. So I started presenting outside, and then I got a joy of helping, and also a joy of sharing that make me live right now. And I was in a one group, and the group was like, hey, you're sharing too much outside, actually. And I'm like, yo, that makes me live, and I cannot stop it. And I don't want to stop it, because that's the only way I'm feeling live right now. I'm live because of that. I've started being putting my contribution as my first priority in my life, actually. So I'm going to keep doing it. I exit out of the group finally. But yeah, at the end of the day, what happened, I started helping other brands, actually. And we launched close to 170 launches. Every month we're doing like close to 10 launch a day. 10 launch a month, actually, 10 to 15 launches. So yeah, man, it's all about data. I mean, that's what very long and short background.
No, I get it. Yeah, I think, I feel like that's been the theme I've been hearing. I mean, I have to say, of course, I still in the old school, like you know, you do some research, and then you know, you look at your current catalog and you try to find a gap. But I feel like everybody's getting so much more advanced now, like in the data. Like
you cannot see if you have a one among the commodity product. Like, so let's put this way. If your product has a same set of color or different or design or same thing, more than 10, 20 people, you are in like a dying business. So you are like in a value business. So let me explain you this, what we found out, and we're putting this pattern actually already. We're developing a tool on this one. So basically, Amazon has a different segmentation of buyers. So there are professional buyers, value buyers, seasonal buyers, and you give buyers, and there are like a seven type of buyer there, and you can go more actually. The buyers is like depends on what's niche and everything actually completely. But when you look up the products actually, the value buyers and the professional buyers act differently, and a gift buyers and the seasonal buyers act differently. When it comes to a value buyers, the value buyers looks for everything out of the penny worth it. They don't care about the functionality that what better you have. They want you have like a better reviews and you have like a better pricing. And then you have like a goodies, like you have bags and everything included. Then they get sold. But professional buyers, they don't care about the pricing. They want the maximum out of how they can improve their life actually. For them, the second image should be for them is like a more detailed content of what are they going to get actually. So the problem right now, who you're serving to, it's the most important thing. That's called buyer intent, right? So Amazon focusing on buyer, you don't want most of the people coming and then taking over buying and surfing so many things and not buying anything. They want the buyers are know what they want and show what they exactly want actually, and then that's how they get sold. So now it's specifically before what we do is like we have like a one keyword, take a multiple, and then you can acquire multiple keywords out of the one keyword launch. But right now you cannot do that one. You gotta be like reverse. You need to take underlying keywords and go into the top keywords actually automatically. So there are so many things changed recently. It's like it's insane. Wow. What's happening right now.
Yeah, so I guess I'm wondering, does a certain brand target a certain type of buyer, it seems like, is what?
Yep, that's correct. And you target their language, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So what language they speaking, and you better have everything in your listing for that particular. For example, if you're focusing on 45-year-old man, you better be like have them like what type of man it is. Is it like the man who worry about the family, who has family, who don't have the family, or is it like really have like something? So you gotta like represent the whole person. For example, if it's a gray hair product, actually, if somebody's like worry about gray hair, either they gotta be like fashion or they gotta be like single, right? So somebody's like in a family and then and they have kids. I don't think they care more about having a gray hair. They care about the family and they care about like a more like functional aspect of their life. But if somebody's like a 45, they were like don't want the gray hair. They want to consistently use gray hair solution. That means he's got to be single and he got to looking for going out dating. He got to like have a huge social presence, or he's like a very fashion guy going into these things actually. So when you're filling the listings, you got to make sure what pain point we're serving. So when people coming for that, it's a professional bias. That's like a literally like solving the pain of one other person. You want to mention how good looking even when they have kids or somebody. So you got to like represent the whole aspect of that avatar. And also the point is backing up the keyword is another most important thing. So if somebody's using the language, you can able to find out AI. It's like crazy. You can segment that one using the AI right now. If somebody's like, you can say like, what are the keywords? Is 45 years old man who's single and who's looking to go out often and then have a social life and have a fashion things. What kind of keywords you will choose actually on this product? And also you can able to discover that one using the Amazon reviews and everything actually completely. So design your listing for a buyer intent and specific buyer intent. So before we go into three things, one, a sales come from organic, PPC, and Amazon recommendation. Right now, so Amazon recommend and also refinements, four types actually. So 30 to 40% come from organic, like 30%. But that's why ESQP data never have like a 10 to 20% because it's a 48 hours time cycle. And also it's like a, it's the organic sales has come like 30 to 40%. Your PPC is like another 30 to 40%. Another 5 to 10% has come from refinements. Another 15 to 20% has come from, I'm talking about here and there. It's come from a buyer intent. Amazon, show your listing to a relevant audience. When they add to cart their product, some other product, they will show your product as well. For that, you need to like prepare your buyer intent actually, like clearly, crazy.
Got it. What is refinement? I don't know if I'm...
So the refinements are that if you go to the filter, if you go search, and then if you put it on the left side on the filter, you can able to find out how you can put the filter. Those called refinements actually in a technical term in the back end. So those are like if you don't fill the back end options right, you will not get that. You'll not get that one at all. Completely.
Got it. Yeah. Like I get it. Like filtering. Yeah, so you do that. Of course you just try to, you know, we try to just jam in every keyword we can in those different flat file fields is how, you know,
I mean, it's not about like it's not about like filling all the keywords. It's like what you need to fill there. Mm. So Amazon already have like a pre-template. Every refinements, it's already defined. If you filled anything else, it's not gonna show up there. So you gotta index for the refinements. So if you put your product and you select some pre-filled. You're not going to type there. You got to like select what they have there. So if it's like a, if they say like a organic, if you don't fill the organic in your listing, if you don't select the organic in your refinements, you're probably not going to get indexed for that refinement at all. So there are pre-filled term in the BTG guide. You can go and then download from the Amazon Seller Central. What is BTG guide? And then you can able to, you can able to fill exactly what's required there.
Okay. So like, you know, for your brands and the brands you're working with. So of course, data driven. I mean, what other, like you said earlier, like the COVID, you know, I'll be sharing a little bit about that in my intro at the summit too, but we've been through, the community's been through a lot. Like, yeah, I mean, like I have friends too, they got, you know, totally wrecked, you know, and I've had to rebuild a bit of my brands over the years. And especially like, yeah, like post COVID, I feel like a lot changed in like 22, 23.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, totally. I mean, Amazon landscape works like this. So we initially in the keyword matching algorithm, just like you, if you type a keyword, any keyword that match, it pulls up your product. Second, they bring like a machine learning. Third, they bring like a, there's a whole season I have done in the YouTube. So the third one, they bring like the NLP model. The fourth one, they bring like a semantic. And then fifth one, they're like a n-gram. So in this process itself, they come up with the n-gram, a BERT algorithm, and a whole bunch of things in the middle itself, actually. And on top of it, they come up with like a Cosmo and Rufus and AI right now. So in during this 2021 to 2023, before even like we blink our eyes, happened is basically like a, when your product are already compliant with the old algorithm, making a lot of sales, so it doesn't have to go through the new algorithm aspect of it. So when your sales drop for each and every keyword, I'm to keyword level I'm talking about, then it's adapt to the new algorithm at that point. So if your listing was not ready for a new algorithm, for example, the relevancy model what we have and dynamic re-ranking model what we have right now, it's a two different things. What's a conflict is in the relevancy model, if you repeat a number of keywords multiple times, you get higher relevancy. In a dynamic re-ranking and semantic, if you repeat it more than twice, it will punish you.
Mm.
So what happened during this time? People trying to figure it out, like, oh, is it like a is it like a inventory issues, or is it like something is wrong with my listing, or it's because like most of the time you go out of stock, you're never able to come back. That's always happened. So that traumatized people, right? So they end up in like, okay, I'm not sure what happening. So they couldn't figure it out. Is it algorithmic? Is it like a nature of my business, or my competitors killed me, or what's happening actually? By the time they figure out that, a lot of people lose the business. I mean, I feel Thrasio, it's also like one of the biggest problem is like they don't understand the Amazon business, because they picked up the products, whatever they're doing good, they yeah. did well. But the point is, Amazon business is not like a number to number, actually. It's like, it's a prediction. It's also, you need to like, your KPIs are different than a regular business. The KPIs for Amazon, it's like works differently from the launch, pre-launch, post-launch, maintenance, growth phases. There are different KPIs. And ACoS KPI, the KPIs marks for ACoS and TACoS are completely different, each and everything. You cannot just like, oh, if I put $1, I need to get $3. If you look for that, you're like in the wrong business, actually, first of all.
Yeah, that's true. They're aggregators. I feel like I could see it happening. They were ripping the heart out of the brand, right? Like yeah. they're buying all these brands, taking out the founder and the brand owner and brand managers, and just firing them or like paying them out. And then they just threw. I felt like we knew that was going to happen. Yeah. That was insanity. Yeah. It was insanity. Totally.
The one thing, good thing, what they all have is like a good reviews, which is like you could be able to make a decent amount of sales. When you have a good reviews, when you have like a good pricing, and we can able to bring back that product any point of time. Any point of time. Well, because you literally able to serve for value buyers. 30 to 40% of buyers from Amazon is like a value buyers. 30% minimum I'm talking about. So you can able to serve them. Why? Because they convince, if you have a higher reviews, that means your product is great, actually. If you have a lower price compared to other person, your product is great. So as long as you show it to them, they will able to be buy those products pretty crazy. But the whole thing is all about like how you can transition from value buyer sales to like a professional buyers. So if you don't transition, then you don't have no profit. You're probably going to compete with at least if you are like a value like a commodity, one of the product, which is like a pillowcase or anything. There's like a, if you go and then check in Amazon, you can be able to find at least like 10 to 20 people launch the same product every month. Either the brand, existing brand, or a new person who's like, oh, I'm going to sell the pillowcase, or I'm going to sell the garlic press, actually. They're still filling up right now.
People are still doing that?
They're still doing it right now. And I'm talking about like, dude. So it's like anytime people have that kind of product, they have a huge volume in it. There's a volume game. But if you have like a higher reviews and a good pricing model, you can always try to win. You can always win, but then you need to transition to like a maybe put it in a way that this pillow is specifically for somebody want to have like a cool feeling, or a pure cotton, or no microplastic. Because you're spending more time in the more time where you spend is like in your bed, actually, like half of the. Your life is spending time in your bed. You better have a better quality, like a blankets. You better have like a better quality pillows, better quality. So you need to like transition to that phase of it.
Yeah. I never got into the mattress business, but I know they make a lot of commission. I mean, during COVID, one guy was trying to get me to help him with some affiliates of mattresses. And I think they sell, like you said, like you spend like, majority of your life in beds, so might as well have a good mattress or sleeping. And I'm noticing that with one of my brands, I have a wine polishing cloth, like to dry. And I'm not the only partner. I have a couple others, and their price is nervous. They're scared about being too expensive, but we increased price. Nothing changed, and sales went up. Like literally, like a month ago, like September.
If you cannot be cheaper, you better be expensive person in the market, actually.
Yeah, so it's surprised my more cheaper, price conscious partner.
No, but again, you need to check the segmentation, actually. So maybe like probably you're doing something right on your listing, actually, which is like convincing the people, stating that, that's what they say, right? All good is not cheap. Cheap is not good, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I follow that principle. I would rather not buy anything, rather buy one product, which is like a good quality product that what I need in my life. Because we are all traumatized out of like a freaking crazy products, actually. So cheap, with the Matrix, I have like a crazy... I met a guy who invited me for his brand, actually, in Colombia. How he started the business is like he bought a one mattress for $200,000. $60,000 to $80,000, something. So he slept on that bed, and he said he never able to sleep on any other bed. It's like zero gravity kind of stuff, and ozone and a whole bunch of things. So bougie. And he created a brand in Colombia and sell it for $20,000 a mattress. And people buy it. In Colombia, I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So $20,000 mattress, I couldn't even imagine that I'm going to buy the $20,000 mattress, actually. So I was like, he's like, you want to try? No. I don't want to.
Yeah, I know, right? I don't want to get addicted to a mattress.
Exactly, right.
Can't use so another
like,
one.
No, I don't want to sit on that. No. So he want to launch a separate line for the bed with the expensive stuff, and he's ready to invest like whatever. So I was like, so they're talking about mattress. So people are spending huge amount of money like that, man. It was crazy. I never thought about it.
Yeah, because I was in New York City for a while. Like, and you'd always walk by an empty mattress store. And you're like, what? Yeah. It's so expensive to rent, and it's on the first floor, and it's like a mattress store. Yeah. And I guess
they don't need to make like a lot of sales. They just need to make like what? It's like the $1,000 mattress. They probably have to make what? Like maybe 200, 100 to 200. They don't need to like have like a Burlington, like thousands of people buying it for like a $19, $5 market. It's for them. It's like the people who comes in there. They're gonna buy the mattress. They're gonna buy the pillows, and they're gonna buy the everything, the whole set, actually, completely. And then they sell them for like $1,000, $2,000. I mean, yeah, it's worth it. Okay. I guess so. Yeah, right. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like they said, it's a significant amount of your life is on bed. So,
see, right, like half of the life we spend in a bed. Are you even thinking right now? That's true. I mean, our pillows should be like a very high quality. Like the bed should be like something that we should feel special to sleep.
True.
That's crazy.
Well, yeah, I mean, it got me thinking of a new product line here. But yeah, so it's just maybe it was around the aggregator, the post COVID, the algorithms. You're saying these like Amazon buyer persona or buckets of buyers and being more data driven, more advanced. I've been asking others, and I'd love your opinion, but it seems like the big brands are getting bigger and the smaller kind of getting squeezed out. I feel like I have a couple I could share and. But, my smaller ones, I have like, it's like 3-4 ASINs. It's like so hard. But the ones I have like 40, it's like easier to launch because I have other products around it. And it just seems easier.
I mean, I don't know. Is it true? I don't have the data backup for this. There is one other metrics in Amazon is like your account's health, actually, right? Not in terms only with the reviews, ratings, and all the things. I think they score you based on how much reviews you're getting, how much returns you're managing, how well you're engaging with your clients. So the more product launch you're doing, the more advantage you're going to have impact in that metrics. That metrics, it's involved in your product launch, like a ranking aspect of it. So all I know is like there is a one metrics involved that score is also calculated for your ranking. So for your launch. So if you're not consistently launching product on the one account, probably like whatever, maybe like 6 months once or 3 months once or monthly once, if you're not consistently doing something like that, if you're not consistently improving, if you're not consistently pushing the PPC budget, if you're not consistently like running the promotions, running the prime deals and everything, you're probably going to have a disadvantage. It's nothing to do with the how small or how big. We have worked with the brands, which is like a consistently growing, which started small, like started low. They end up in like doing pretty well.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess in the way I understand that is you got to keep launching. So if you're small, like I have one, it's just like a few good listings. I've tried other listings. They don't work out. I don't keep them. So I feel like that's been more troublesome than established one. But it's true. I guess it's also true. We're launching more. Well, it's a wider catalog and there's more. So we're launching new products in there regularly. So maybe you're right. Maybe
like a push up the budget.
You got to be bigger though, right? You got to have more money. You got to be bigger. Like these one ASIN products, you know.
Isn't it that what Amazon want?
Mm-hmm.
They will look for a brand. They will make them advantage when they have a better spending on the PPC. Actually, the PPC plays a major role, and people take it lazy in terms of like super easy, you know, in terms of like just giving it to the agency and then just looking for a profitability better. See, you need to know what state are you in each and every product. You cannot treat the same product which is making 500 sales and you're in a maintenance aspect of it, whereas you're in another product which is like launch phase or pre-launch or post-launch phase, and you're trying to treat the both the things same. Actually, how you can do that one, actually. Yeah,
this has been great. I mean, I'm excited for your talk in at the Cross Border Summit, less than a month away. Do you want to share some of the things, and then we're gonna have a workshop too? Do you want to?
Yeah, man. So what do we plan? This basically at this point is like I want to see. We have a specific right now. Amazon landscape is like people. I still see they're still using the Helium 10 and the Jungle Scout just like that. These tools are like really great, but if you use it in the right way, don't just take the product just like that. You better use this as a hint. There is a niche. There is a demand for that niche actually. So take that product. Like work with somebody to develop it. Like for example, Don, I work with Don like crazy.
Yeah, Don's great.
Right? Don is amazing dude, actually, right? So it's like you work with somebody like that to develop the product. And I work with like a couple of people like that as well. One is Jose, Don, and then a couple of people. So it's not gonna cost a lot. It's like probably like you're gonna spend maybe like 5-10 grand for ideation, right? But you're gonna spend like 30 grand versus 30-40 grand versus 5-10 grand is nothing compared to that one. So, How do you select the product? How you can able to come up with that? Like I take that as an ideation, not just literally like a product. Actually, that's the most important thing. The second one is like a most important thing is like a segmentation of what buyer you're focusing on from the day one, or identify what is a buyer, what's buyer segment is already in your market. Who's buying your product? What kind of buyers? What kind of keywords you're converting? What type of reviews you're getting? Who's the buyer actually that buying the product? So then you change your listing, focus on that kind of buyers. It's the another most important thing. And then launch, how you can move from launch to pre-launch to a complete launch phase actually. That's what we're going to cover in the workshop. So yeah. Hopefully, awesome. I can deliver much better for sure. Yeah.
No, I'm excited. I mean, we had the webinar last time that was really well, and we've done other things, and your content's amazing online. So I'm super excited to have you here. How long has it been since Thailand? Last time we saw, or even before?
I think I was there 2023.
I remember.
Yeah, I was in 2023. So okay. I came with my dad actually. I was speaking in a. I was speaking in a Howard Thai event.
Yeah, Howard's. Yeah,
Howard's event,
in the island. Sorry. Yeah.
In Ireland, yeah, it was good one actually. Koh Samui.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Well, this has been amazing, Colin. Thanks for doing a session and coming out to Thailand. I'm super excited for this.
And, 100%, man. Totally.
We'll link up. So what's the ways? I think you said your YouTube. What's some ways people can find you online?
Oh,
as well.
They can find me, Colin Raja, everywhere, like YouTube or Facebook or Instagram. You could type Colin Raja, you can able to find out. I think there's not a lot of Colin Raja in the market.
Nice, that works out. There's been more of me, more Michael Michelini, if you can believe it. There's a few.
Oh, yes, there's only a few. Yeah, exactly. Like Colin is like very common. But if you put Colin Raja, RAJA, it's like, it's not a lot of people.
Nice.
That's both the combination.
That's good. That's great.
Awesome.
All right. Well, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. And we'll
thank
see
you.
And
I appreciate it.
Soon.
Thank you. I appreciate it, guys. See you guys in the Thailand.
See
you. Okay. See you.
Wow. Colin, thanks for those insights. Can't wait for your talk and workshop at the summit. Listeners, if you're dealing with launch slumps or tariff woes, this is your playbook.
Absolutely, Mike. Now, for our listener question segment, we had a question from Alex in the US. How can I identify buyer segments for my Amazon listings without advanced tools? Mike, any quick tips?
Start by analyzing your reviews and keywords. See what terms convert and who's leaving feedback. Tools help, but data from your own sales is key.
Great advice. And don't miss the Cross Border Summit 2025 on November 3rd to 5th in Thailand. Network with pros like Colin, dive into AI and tariffs. Tickets at crossbordersummit.com.
Thanks again, Colin. See you next time.
To get more info about running an international business, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.